Jeremiah 17, verse 5 down to 8. Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in wilderness, in a salt and salt land, and not inhabited. The other side of the coin: blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers, or by the waters, that spreadeth forth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Two sides of the coin there, cursings and blessings, 5 and 7 basically. And I'll preach on blessings this morning, so let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help us to see what we need to do to get ourselves in line so we can receive your blessings. And if we don't, then we receive cursings. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be faithful to your word. Help us to see that we have to meet your approval. We have to come by your standards and by your methods. There's no negotiation with these things with thee. I pray you'd help us realize you, the Creator, make the rules, and we are to abide by them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Jeremiah 17:5. One side says curse, the other side, verse 7, says blessing. On our coinage in our country, it says, in God we trust. But our country doesn't trust God anymore. Proof of that, as far as government goes, is whenever a government looks for a coalition of forces that proves they don't trust God. It's not necessary when you trust God. Okay, so in God we trust. I think it's kind of funny when an atheist has that in his pocket. In God we trust. Has to spend that money. In God we trust. But the idea here is in verse 7 is the cursings when we trust man. And it's a blessing when you trust God, verse 7. So the idea is, I want to give some areas of blessing this morning. Things that you and I must do in order to get ourselves in a position to be blessed by God. God does not set up a negotiation thing with us. Okay, we say, well, I think this is right. And he says, well, I think this is right. Okay, then let's compromise. There's no compromise with God. He sets up the rules. The only way to go to heaven is to be sinless or to take somebody's payment for your sin, who was sinless and still is sinless. That's the only way to get to heaven. Now, as far as the Bible goes, this book is a self-interpreting book. It interprets itself. Look, if you would, in Genesis 30, verse 13. What does it mean to be blessed? Genesis 30, verse 13. The Bible is a self-interpreting book. You don't need some skirt-wearing priest to try to tell you what the Bible says. If you've got a brain, can read sixth grade English, you could understand and see what the Bible says for yourself. That's a blessing. What does blessed mean? Genesis 30, verse 13. Leah said, happy. Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. So there in the Bible, the word blessing and happiness are virtually synonymous. Slight differences, but they're virtually synonymous. And the reason why the Lord uses different words is because God is a God of variety. Happiness. A belief system, a religion, or a faith that cannot make you happy isn't worth shooting. Muslims don't make them, they're not happy. Sodomites aren't happy. They're not gay. They're not happy. Happiness is a peace inside. And that's what people are looking for, living happily ever after. And the only way you can live happily ever after is find out what the Bible says and do it. That's the only way. Jesus Christ said in John 13, 17, happy are ye if you do these things. So we find out what the Bible says. Now we see signs all over our country right now where it says God bless America. In essence, Americans are demanding God to bless us, but he will not bless us unless this country gets itself in a position to be blessed by God. Psalms 33, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, as far as our country goes, I don't know, I suppose that's out of our hands, but yet as individuals, we can do our part to try to help this country out. This country began as a Christian nation. The Supreme Court even said that in several cases. And we need to get back to that way. So in order for us to, instead of saying, "God bless America," we should say, "God, please have mercy on us." Now, if we want God to bless us, we have to get ourselves in a position to be able to receive those blessings. Okay, it's like if a kid wants to be on a certain ball team, he best practice. He best get himself in a position to be worthy to be on that team, to be a player on that team. Okay, as far as salvation, I'm going to give you areas of blessing in the Bible. It's very clear. Look, if you would, in Psalms 32. The first area of a blessing is in Psalms 32. Psalms 32. This is something that every individual has a capability of doing. God is not willing that any should perish. God's will is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's unfortunate that most people thwart the will of God. Psalms 32, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is, blessed is." Blessed is, or we could also say synonymous with that, happy is. Blessed is the man, or blessed is he, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, sometimes the English language, when you have a big flowing word, if you look inside of that word, you can find the definition. That's what's the beautiful about the King James Bible and the English. You say, what does that imputeth mean? Boy, that sounds like a whopper of a word. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Right in the middle of that word, you see the little word put. We know what that means. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord puts not iniquity. He don't put iniquity to his account. He doesn't charge him with iniquity. He doesn't charge him with sin. In the Bible, that's called imputed righteousness. What is that talking about? It's talking about going to heaven when you die. It's talking about salvation. The Bible has a phrase that's called being born again. You'll find Jesus Christ said in John chapter 3, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's pretty clear, isn't it? No interpretation is needed. Jesus Christ said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see God. You can't see his kingdom. You can't go to heaven except unless you get born again. What's that mean? Well, very often in the Bible, the Bible takes something that's you do understand, that any woman understands, any mother understands, and explains something he's trying to get you to understand something else. In the Bible, being born again, a second birth. The first birth, mama went through the pain, mama went through the jaws of death, mama went through the emotions, the turmoils and everything up and down, mama went through the travail. She, in essence, gives life to a baby. Now, does she have to go to the hospital to give birth? Don't have to. She could. The vast majority do go to the hospital. Some have a baby at home. That's how the olden days, they used to all have them at home. Sometimes some make it, try to get to the hospital, and they don't get to the hospital, they have it in the car. Now, do you have to be in a hospital to have a baby? Why is it that people think you have to be in church, a specific church, in order to be saved? Strange. I didn't get saved in a church. I got saved in my bedroom in an old farmhouse. Got beside my bed, got on my knees, asked Jesus Christ to save me. No church involved at all. Church is not the issue. Why is it that people always bring up church when you talk about Jesus Christ? Well, my church is founded upon the rock. So? Don't mean anything. Don't mean a cotton-picking thing. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The new birth in the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't matter about the church. Got nothing to do with it. You see, just because a guy walks in church, don't make him saved. Just because you walk in your garage, don't make you a car. See? Just because you can find a coin on the ground, don't make it a bank. You know, clean out the septic tank, find a coin down in there somewhere. I ain't going to go to that place for a bank. Of course, might be more trustworthy. But even at that. Okay, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the new birth. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Why is it that people attend church, but yet they don't know where they're going when they die? Tuesday, we got to go up to O'Hare Airport. We're going to pick up a young lady coming in from Austria, Switzerland. When she gets on that airplane, she knows the destination of that airplane, where it's supposed to end up be. Can you imagine somebody going to the airport, I'm going to get an airplane. Where's the plane going? I don't know. You're going to get an airplane? Yeah, sure am. Well, does the pilot know where it's going? No, he don't know either. But all we know is that we're going to make good time. People would say, you're nuts. But why is it that most people attend a church and they don't know where they're going when they die? That's all across this country. Why? Because they don't know the idea of the new birth, being born again, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's got nothing to do with church. The first time you were born, your mother did everything. She entered the jaws of death. She suffered. Dad, he was in the corner. He fainted anyway. Or he's trying to get everything figured out. Or he's trying to drive slow so he wouldn't get to the hospital before midnight. That's what I did one time. Could charge extra money. Even all that stuff. Well, what's Mama does everything. She, in essence, gives as a free gift life to an infant. She could have killed it. Many mamas in this country kill their babies through abortion. Okay, the second birth is like that, in that Jesus Christ suffered, Jesus Christ died, the Lord Jesus Christ was buried, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, He did everything. Now, just as the first birth, the baby has to rely on mama, the second birth, the individual's got to rely on Jesus Christ. And at the moment you rely on Jesus Christ, you say, I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm worthless, I know I can't get me to heaven. I'm asking you, Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to take my payment. I'm asking you to be my personal Savior. At that moment, He makes you a new creature in Christ. That didn't happen when you got born the first time. You got to figure out, when am I made a new creature in Christ? See, and that's the new birth, salvation. And now when that happens, the Lord takes sin off your record in heaven and puts righteousness in its place, sinlessness in its place. Now when you get to heaven, your name comes up. They say, why do you get to come? Let me check your record. Oh, you don't have any sin on your account. I guess you can come on in. Why? Because it says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. So how does he do that? Therefore, being justified by faith. Not water baptism, not a wafer, not good works, not turn over a new leaf. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the new birth. And see, when you get saved, you know for sure you're going to heaven. Man, you can be happy. You can be happy. I know where I'm going when I die. I didn't say I'm guessing where I'm going. I know where I'm going when I die. At the moment of my death, I'm packing up going due north. Straight north past the North Star and the Alpha Draconis. Way up there, that's where the throne of God is. In fact, according to Ephesians 2:6, I am already there. Says, I'm already seated in Christ Jesus in the heavens. Boy, there's nothing better than that to know that. Amen. Man, you talk about a blessing to know something like that. That's why it's an area of blessing. Okay, the second area, look if you would in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. After a person gets saved, the most important thing they need to get in their hands is a perfect, sinless, flawless Bible. As a kid, you want to play King of the Hill, and you want to make sure you're on that King of that Hill, so you got to get you a Bible that's the King of the Hill. And that's that old King James Bible. That's flawless. That's better than the originals. It's better than a Greek. It's better than a Hebrew. That old book right there, that old King James Bible. And it says in Proverbs 8:34, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door." Now, if this book right here can sprout some vocal cords and start talking to us, it would talk Proverbs 8. That's what it would say. Read the whole chapter of Proverbs 8, and it is truth speaking audibly. If this book would talk, it would say, "Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates," reading this book every day of my life. Spending some time in this book every single day of my life. Asking the author, God, to explain this book to me. When a man spends time in this book, then God, he gets himself in a position to receive God's blessings. When a man ignores this book, God ignores him. When a man casually reads this book, God casually might throw a few blessings his way. When a man takes this book serious and spends time in this book, that's when the blessings come. Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." We're to live by this book. You see, the secret to the Christian life is all right in here. It's all right in this book. There's a woman that came to Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 11. And she said to Jesus, she said, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked." Boy, you can figure out what church she's probably coming from. And he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Right there. That's the secret right there. It's all right up in that book. You know, you tell people that, they just say, "You mean it's all right in there?" Yep, this book contains all the questions to all the answers for all the questions of life right here in this book. Everything's laid out, and when a man spends some time in this book, then he is getting himself in position for blessings of God. Just spending time in this. This book is not meant for a coffee table, you know, thing on top of the coffee table and say, "Oh, there's my Bible," and dust it off. It's meant to be read. It's meant to be read. It's meant to be studied. It's meant to be believed. It's not meant to be changed. It's meant to believe the actual words. That's why God gave you. This is our owner's manual. This is our music sheet laid down on the thing. We got to find out what it said. This is our cookbook. See, that's what this book's for. And spend some time in this book. That's when a person gets himself in blessings for God. Look, if you would, in Psalms 112, verse 1. I know I harp on that, so much like an angel up in the air harping about something. But even at that, you got to get in that book. The third area is doing something for God. Psalms 112. It says, "Praise you the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." Well, when you get reading that Bible, you're going to find out that book, boy, it goes against my thinking. That book goes against a lot of things I think. And so you ought to fear God. That ought to bother you. And so after a person gets saved, you ought to try to do something for Jesus Christ. Most Christians, they get saved and they become welfare recipients. They don't do anything after they got saved. They don't even say a word about Jesus Christ after they get saved. Now maybe their belief is something to be ashamed of, but mine isn't. My Savior is somebody to be bold about. You can be ashamed of yourself. You can be ashamed of your family. You can be ashamed of your church. You can be ashamed of a lot of things. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you should never be ashamed of Him. You got guys in a job where they're not ashamed of their cigarettes. They pack them up, put them right here in their arm sleeve. How about put a New Testament in there? Take a New Testament, roll it up in your sleeve, and they'll see that. Boy, that'd make them think, wouldn't it? Carry that thing around for a while. I mean, them kids aren't ashamed to have their boom bop music going down the road. They're not ashamed of their God. We shouldn't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Why are people ashamed of him? Shouldn't be. I mean, we want to do something for him. Now, just as in sports, you have a team, a sports team, at the end of the season, there's a sports banquet. Sometimes in music, they have music banquets and music awards. Now, who gets those awards? The people sitting listening? No, it's the one playing, the one practicing. The same goes in heaven. The same thing goes in heaven as far as heaven goes. Heaven is a free gift as far as salvation. You go to heaven just at the moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your ticket to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you get to heaven, don't you want to be able to look at Jesus Christ and say, well, I tried to do something for you. I tried. I didn't do very good, but I sure did try. The Lord said, well, that's good. You did some good things. That's good for you. And he passes out some rewards, service. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. So what's fear mean? Scared of? You ought to be scared of a being that can speak the world into existence. You ought to be scared of a being that can scare us to death just by shaking dirt under our feet. You ought to be scared of a being that can breathe and say, tornado, touchdown right there. You ought to be scared of a being that can turn on the spigot or turn off the spigot and get us running like crazy and scared to death. You ought to be scared of a God who can take a start on a hurricane out there in the Bermuda Triangle and send that thing in and all these people be running like crazy. You ought to be scared of a God like that. The Bible says, fear not man who's able to kill the body, but fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear means scared of. And we ought to be scared of that God. And when you're scared of that God, you ought to be scared of the fire that God can produce. At the judgment seat of Christ, there's a fire that's going to be a bonfire going about a mile or 2 miles in the air. And everything that you've done as a saved person is thrown in that fire. And you see that thing go up in smoke, that ought to bother you. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I try to persuade Christians to do something for Jesus Christ. Pass out a tract. Witness for him. Get out in the street corner, hold up a sign. Do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Witness to your neighbor. Do something for him. Service. Serve him somehow in some way. You don't have to do that. I'm not one of these full-time Christian guys. We're all full-time Christians after the moment we got saved. Whatever vocation or occupation the Lord has you do, that's one thing. But then he wants us to do something else. Okay, so area of blessing. First is salvation. Second is the scriptures. Third is the service. The fourth is sanctification, living a holy life. Look, if you would, in Psalm 94, verse 12. After a person gets saved, we ought to clean our act up. Ought to try to live holy. If I'm trusting a holy Savior for my salvation, the Holy Ghost sealed me and he gave me a holy Bible, then I ought to live a holy life. Psalm 94, verse 12. How am I going to do that? Psalm 94, 12 says, blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teacheth them out of thy law. What's that? That's a spanking. That's a whooping. Oh, I know nowadays we're told you're not supposed to spank your children. Tough apples. Who cares what anybody says? Any child needs a board of education upon the seat of learning when they need it coming. These parents say, well, I don't want to restrain my child. If you don't restrain your child, they'll kill you by the time you're 14 or 15, 16. You don't love your child if you don't try to train them right. Parents that don't try to discipline their children and train them up, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they hate their children. That's worse child abuse than anything. You ought to try to train your children, bring them up. You ought to teach your children, don't put your hand on a hot stove. You don't want your child to burn his hand. Okay, train your child. Don't you do this? Don't you do this? Don't do that. Teach them the word no. That's what they need. They need to understand no. I remember reading about a young lady. She was a juvenile delinquent. Talking to a counselor one time, and they said, the counselor kind of got at his wit's end and said, "What are you looking for in life?" And the girl said, "I'm looking for my parents to say no to me." She wanted some restraint. She wanted some restraint. You see, you put up a fence around your children. That is not because you don't want them to have fun. That is for their protection.
Amen.
I mean, if you got a little one of these little scrawny little dogs, one of these little poodle type dogs, and your neighbor's got a pit bull, you're going to put a fence up so that your little dog doesn't become his supper. See? What's the fence for? It is to protect your animals. The fence is to put up a fence around your children. You don't want to go with that person. I don't want my kids to go to this person's house. Why? Because they're wicked. See? And you're going to have to discipline your children. Train them. Love your children. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's a fine line for a parent between love and fear. I love my parents. I obeyed my parents. Why? Because I feared them. Why? Because I loved them. There's a fine line between those things. And there's a chastening, and the Lord is going to chasten His children. He's going to whoop us. You ever get God spanking, God whooping? Well, I've had that. And that shows God cares. You know, if God wants to mess me up, all He has to do is leave me alone. If He just left me alone, I could ruin it real fast. Any of us. Thank God for His pestering nuisance affecting our lives. Thank God for that. Blessed is the man that is chastened by the Lord. Not only that, James 1 verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to him, them that love him. You ever get to the point where you just get sick of everything and everybody? I mean, you get sick of the world system, you get sick of the news media, you get sick of this, where they're trying to cram their beliefs down your throat. Wherever you go, their stinking, hellish music is being played everywhere. Get sick of that. Get fed up with this world system, like to get out of this mess. Man, you get tired of these things, well, we got to endure it. You got to put up with it. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so you got to endure these things. Why do we endure these things? For the sake of Jesus Christ. He did it for us. We should do it for Him. And blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You're going to put up with this thing? You only got to put up with this thing as long as you're down here for what? 70, 80, 90 years? Depends how you eat, I guess. 120. It's like an old man and old lady, they both died, got to heaven. After they got to heaven, he said, "If I hadn't been eating them oat brands, I would have been up here much quicker." That's how that goes. But you only got to put up with this mess down here for your short lifetime. And if you put up with it properly and endure it and try to live right for God, you get 1,000 years to rule with Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good trade. That's if you serve the Lord Jesus. And you got to resist this world system. Put up with it, but you got to resist it. Be not conformed to this world. Psalms 1, the very first psalm, starts off this way. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." Now, I went through the public school system. You know, it didn't take. A lot of it didn't take. But do you remember them times you had to go to them guidance counselors? Remember that? You had to go to them guidance counselors? You remember them guidance counselors? You know, I had to go to them stinking guidance counselors. I had this woman, she'd take her glass and pull it down. Hold on.
"What do you want to do when you get out of high school?"
"On a farm." I didn't I had to, you know, it's one of those things you're required to go see this person like I really cared to see this woman. And she's going to give me this great counsel. I could care less what she said. She said, well, I think you ought to go to Purdue. I looked at her and said, don't want to go to Purdue. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I considered her an ungodly woman. Why? I wanted to be like my dad. I want to be like my parents. Like most children want to be like their dad. Boys want to be like their dad. Girls want to be like their mom. I want to be a farmer like my dad. Well, she said, I think you ought to go to Purdue and be a computer technician. He ought to say. I told her, don't want to. And she pulls her glass. She says, you got any problems? I'm thinking, yeah, you. No problems. Well, I want you to know that you can come in and tell me your problems. I don't got any. Some of them guidance counselors, you know what some of them guidance counselors do? They look for ways to get the children to rat on their parents. Does your parents have guns in the house? That's exactly right. That's what they're doing. America's becoming more communist than anything. What are we supposed to do? Resist. Resist. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth where sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world. That's a Bible command. Be not conformed to this world. Why? Because I want to try to live holy. I want to live a holy life. I want to live a clean life for Jesus Christ. Try to live clean, try to live holy. When you go down and drive down the street, you got X-rated billboards on the signs. Well, they're not X-rated, they say. It used to be X-rated in our country. You can't go through a newspaper without perversion in there. Oh, we have freedom. That's slavery. That's slavery. It's all that is. And the Bible says, blessed is the man whom the Lord's going to chasten. There's a man, look what he happened to say. Look at the little book of Jude, second to last book in the New Testament. This is a guy named Enoch. Remember that guy, Enoch? Enoch was translated. That means that guy never died. He never died. He lived right before the flood. You think it's bad now. Living right before the flood. Worldwide sodomy and all that stuff. And you talk about Enoch. This guy sounds like a broken record when he preached. Jude verse 14, it says this, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these things, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Do you think a bunch of people said to him, oh, everybody thinks the rapture's right around the corner? He was saying it before the flood. He expected them. Now notice the broken record, verse 50. Here's what he said. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against themselves. Boy, that guy liked ungodly. Didn't he like that word? And one day he's out there telling everybody, you're ungodly. And the Lord shows up and he said, hey, Enoch, he said, you're pretty hard on these people. He said, I know, they're ungodly, aren't they? He said, yeah, they are ungodly. He said, I'm going to run home and get a little bite to eat. You want to come with me? He said, yeah, that sounds pretty good. He said, hey, Enoch, when we go to my house, we don't have night, so you're going to have to stick around with me and stick around for a while. He said, oh, okay, that sounds fine with me. So they took off, and they've still been eating up there ever since then. Guy, see, when you get in the way things are, you get seen everything, and you're going to be extant. If you're going to be trying to live holy, you're going to be against about everything. And the worse it gets in this country, I had a guy this past week, he's trying to sell a newspaper. You talk about a determined old cuss. He's trying to get me to take the Hammond Times. After his spiel, I told him, not interested. He said, I understand. And he started going, I said, don't you understand? I'm not interested. He said, why don't you want a newspaper? I said, because wicked people are trying to cram sodomy down my throat. That's why I don't like it. This guy didn't back off. He just kept riding and coming. He said, why are you still thinking about the newspaper? I said, I don't want a bunch of fag-loving people trying to take their news media to try to cram down my throat. I don't watch a newspaper. Well, the newspaper, blah, 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 blah. That guy just kept riding and coming, so I just kept preaching at the guy. Just kept preaching at him. I don't want the news media's opinion in my house. Why? Because it's ungodly. It's ungodly. Where do you come up with those ideas? Was I? No, after reading this, we spend time in this book, you find out how wicked this world is. So, Jesus Christ said this is an evil world. He doesn't pray for the world. Who does he pray for? He prays for saved people in this world so that we live a holy life. I don't put my kids in public school because I want them to grow up in a clean environment. See? I don't go certain places. I don't go to the bars because I want to live a clean life. Now, if I would happen to go there, I'd probably pass out tracts and probably kick you out anyway. And the thing is, you want to try to live a clean life. Try to live a holy life. Why? To please Jesus Christ. Another area of blessing, real quick, look if you would at Matthew chapter 11. Now, I know that this is shocking for a lot of people. The Bible is a very shocking book. The Bible is a very offensive book. It offends me at times. It offends anybody. Anybody that reads the Bible can be offended. Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. But if you want to have a blessing, when you find, I didn't say if, when you find that the Bible disagrees with your thinking, you're at a crossroad. Now what am I going to do? Matthew 11, verse 6, it says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The Bible is offensive. Now, when you find that the Bible disagrees with your thinking, what are you going to do? You're going to be offended and walk away from it? Or are you going to say, well, I best adjust my thinking? Well, when you adjust your thinking, that's when the blessings come. Psalm 119, 165, it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This book right here has happiness written right in there if we just obey it. But in the process of obeying that book, we're going to find that we're going to have to make changes. Why? Because we're not holy, and that book's holy. And so we want to match up with that book. Areas of blessing. First, salvation. That's a starter. Secondly, the scriptures. Thirdly, is serving Jesus Christ. And fourth, trying to live a holy life, being sanctified in Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to try to live a holy life. Help us to see what the Bible has to say. Help us to obey what it says. Help us to understand what it says. Lord, I pray that we would fully understand what this book's got for us. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, please, please find that out. Please don't gamble with your soul. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, we have many, many people here that know they're going to heaven, and they could show you in the Bible, and you could see it for yourself. Have complete assurance of that. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven and you're saying, preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, please don't guess on that. Don't gamble on that. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven and you're saying, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, would you pray for me? Just by an uplifted hand, you're just asking me to pray for you that you could find that out. Anyone in here? You don't know for sure you're going to heaven, but you'd want me to pray for you. Anybody? To live a blessed life, to have blessings from God, we're going to have to get ourselves in a position to receive His blessings. And that starts with salvation, the Scriptures, trying to serve Him, trying to live a holy life. The instruments plays, the altar's open if you need it. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, please find out. You can be 100% sure. Not 99, not 98, not 97. That's not good enough. 100%. You can see it written down as a contract between you and God. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know ye have eternal life. God gave us a Bible so you can know it, not so you can guess, not so you'd hope, not the maybe, not might, not possibility. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. The Lord Jesus, His holy life, His holy ministry only lasted 3.5 years. That's all they could put up with Him. They would have killed Him sooner if they could have got away with it. He allowed it to take place, a 3.5 year ministry. He allowed that, and then He allowed, voluntarily allowed man to kill Him. Jesus Christ was so holy, they could only handle Him for 3.5 years. They wanted to kill Him sooner, but they wanted to get rid of Him. The world hasn't changed. It's gotten worse. Lord Jesus, I pray You'd help us realize that You have set the standard for heaven as righteousness, holiness, sinless. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us realize that we as individuals cannot meet that. But thank God that there's a Savior, a sinless Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for every human. And when that person places their faith and trust in You, You give them eternal life. And Lord, I pray You'd help everybody in this room to have that assurance, know for sure they're going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Lord bless you. We're dismissed.